This is the 919 Beer Podcast on 99.9 The Fan. Now here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
Welcome to the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. We got a couple cool things coming up. We got Patrick Chains in the house.
They have names.
Old Hickory. I'm naming the places, dude. Relax. I'm back from vacation, and you're
We're
already
just ready
on top
to go
of
after you.
One of your
My
mini
goodness.
Vacations.
Did you guys miss me or something?
No.
No, Lauren was great.
Brownlow girl filled in phenomenally.
See, I heard you guys quizzed her though. I heard you guys.
Her?
I heard you guys were giving her. I heard you guys were giving
thunder.
Her a hard time.
Well, wouldn't you?
And I explained to Lauren
you
that
you set her up for that.
I explained to Lauren that you two are essentially mean girls.
Oh, gosh.
So
no.
You got to be careful with those
two. Jokes. You and I are mean to Adam.
Well, there's no. But you two can get, you guys can be a bit much for people who are not
I'm
used to
I'm basically the lazy Chabert of this relationship.
Right. Yeah, I kind of missed it. It was kind of ironic where Weeping Radish was in the house, and I was actually
coincidental.
And I was in the... Well, it's like rain on your wedding day. That's the type of thing that Alanis Morissette told me is ironic, even though they are coincidences.
I know. It's amazing. Everybody skips like 6 full years of English education in this country because of one song.
Which, ironically, the song becomes ironic.
Isn't it
because
ironic?
None of it is actually ironic.
Correct.
Anyway,
I'll
maybe
take that.
Maybe that was the long con that Alanis Morissette was trying to set up. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but I was out in the Outer Banks with some friends from California. Weeping Radish was in the house. And kind of a bummer, but I did have Weeping Radish while I was there because they're always good stuff. Yeah. I had their black radish. Yeah. I had their Kolsch beer.
There's no such thing as a black radish. We understood from last week.
I understand, but it's their Schwarz beer.
We had
it's
the Kolsch as well.
We had the Kolsch. The Kolsch goes very, very well on the beach.
Do you have any sausages?
And I also had the Corolla Gold, not
yeah,
Corolla Gold.
Yeah, right.
Corolla Gold.
It's not a Toyota Gold Corolla. It's
no.
Corolla.
It's not that. It's not what
it's
my
not
wife.
A Toyota.
It's not my wife's first car. It's Corolla Gold. There's clearly a difference, and they'll correct you when you actually ask for a Corolla Gold. But no, I had a good time, and our friends were from respectively from San Diego and from San Francisco. Our friends from San Diego, Ian is a big beer dude. He homebrews, and he's like a Mr. West Coast IPA guy. They actually have. At the, what was it called? Fish Heads. It's a pier right there in Nag's Head. They actually had some of the local beers from San Diego that were available. We had them on, well, we had some of their beers through, who do we have on from, what's the San Diego? Now I can't remember the name. I'm like drawing.
Coronado?
Yes, Coronado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Will does great down there at the beach.
They had like all the Coronado stuff on the beer
menu. He kills
menu.
It down there.
But no, so. He was like, "Look, man, I want to try some like Raleigh beers." So guess what I brought to the beach?
Trophy.
Yeah. How'd you guys know?
It's just a
wild
guess.
Wait, didn't I give you beers to take to the beach?
So how did your
they didn't make it. They didn't even make it. To
how
the
did
beach?
Your West Coast IPA guy enjoy the New England style trophy?
He loved them.
Yeah, there
loved
you go.
Them. He absolutely loved them. And it's just he's like, yeah, you don't really see this kind of stuff on the West Coast because they're still doing their not that there aren't other styles on the West Coast, but the whole New England thing just hasn't seemed to take over there like it has over here. But
wow, a trend started on the East Coast? Wow, imagine
what?
That. It usually
what?
Starts over there and comes this
yeah,
way.
Like freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
That was a trend.
Yeah, your Mason, the Mason jar, the Happy Place lager, the reason why it didn't make it past Father's Day, actually.
Because your
day
father
beer.
Came
it's
over
good
and drank
dad
it?
Beer.
No, because both my dad and my father-in-law had come over. We had just cooked out, and those got crushed.
You must have been out of Dogfish Head 120s for your dad.
Well, funny story about that. 4th of July yesterday, we had our neighbor over, and he went right for the Dogfish. He went to the higher math, the 20th anniversary beer, which is at 18%. And I looked at him, I'm like, look, man, I'm not going to tell you not to open that, but we're going
to
split
just
it.
I just want you to think first.
Well, I go two things. One. It's 100 degrees outside. Okay?
Two, it's big.
No doubt.
Two, we're all splitting this. Like, you're not just going to drink that because I don't need you passed out in my house. So we all
or
enjoy
worse.
It. Or worse, exactly. But no, my friends enjoyed it so much that I just kind of joked with them. Like, well, if you guys want to go to the source, you guys don't fly out till Sunday, so let's go to Tappan Table. And we ended up going to Tappan Table where they got, like, the whole flights and everything else. And they brought a cloud surfer back to California.
Nice.
So they're hoping for some distributors out there, I guess. But other than that, no. Outer Banks was hot. It was cool. It was fun. And
we saw you enjoying your sunsets.
Hey, look.
That was on Tatooine.
Jockey's Ridge, man. If you go on the right night to Jockey's Ridge, you can see a sunset and a full moon within 15 minutes.
Wow.
Or at the same time.
It has to be literally the right night because it would happen once a month.
Okay.
But go on.
But also has to be clear.
Well, yeah.
Which helps.
So you also have to be there.
Yeah. That also helps, too.
I've never been.
Sometimes you go, and it's not the right time of the month. Haven't we all been there?
Wow.
So the what? I'm talking about going to the beach.
Yeah, I know.
And we were, too.
Yeah. So it was a fun time. I floated around in my poop emoji float. We all had a great time. What'd you guys do?
Nothing. We mourned you're not being here.
Are you okay, Adam?
We had a good... No, I'm fine, man.
Adam's
you
not
don't
okay.
seem fine.
I just feel like if I'd have said that joke, we might have to stop tape.
What joke
Probably
are you...
Probably because I would have taken it too far.
What joke
anyway,
are you referring
we're gonna,
to?
We're just going to move on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I've been getting ready for Happy Place Day, which is this Saturday.
That's right. You got shirts and everything.
Yeah, man.
Hats, tank tops.
Mechanical Shark, live reggae, new shirts, bunch of Happy Place variants.
So okay, all right. How does the Mechanical Shark work? What
like
time
a,
is that?
Like
what
a mechanical bull, 3 to 6 p.m. at Mason Jar Lager Company.
Okay.
Maybe if you want to come test your skills.
Again?
Maybe we'll drop by after we go see Incredibles.
I think you should.
Going to the Alamo Draft House on Saturday. Go
nice.
See,
that'll be a great
Incredibles,
day.
So.
Yeah, it's
mechanical sharks.
It's going to be a fun time. Yeah, I mean,
anybody
can have a mechanical bull.
So if I try to feed the mechanical shark, it'll like pull me into the water. Mm-hmm. Is that how it works? Like that viral video,
like Alex Kittner.
There you go.
Nobody needs that.
No. Wayne.
Man,
what?
I don't know. You know, I did my usual. July 4th, I went to Baum Brothers yesterday afternoon. Yeah. Met some friends, had a few beers, went back to the house, ate some pork. You know,
I had pork yesterday too.
I had pork
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but I didn't cook y'all's. So I knew yours.
Dad made it.
I know y'all's was not as good as mine.
That's not true because I made mine in La Cajachina.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know what that means.
Did the Cuban pork.
Mine smoked on the big green egg for 12
nothing
hours.
Because nothing says America quite like making Cuban pork.
I bet you. That's right.
I'm just saying.
I had a Facebook memory pop up yesterday from like 5 years ago when I was in Mexico eating at an Indian restaurant on July 4th.
Wow.
America! Look, my dad showed up to the house in a Hawaiian shirt, a USA hat, and a South of the Border with Pedro t-shirt.
Well, that t-shirt is the most America
that is.
You can get.
That is definitely
chili
the case.
Tonight, hot tamales.
What's funny, too, is like nothing is as American as drinking beer and blowing things up. I mean, look, I hope all of our listeners that have decided to do both those things were as safe as possible.
Yeah, but I don't like fireworks. I just like guns.
It's like a it's an American pastime of hold my beer while I light this.
Dude, you know? I'll tell you what, in my neighborhood last night behind my house, the next street down, there was no less than an hour and about 7 minutes of a fireworks show.
Dude.
Like it just kept going. It was incredible.
In my neighborhood,
the whole neighborhood was just
that was Sunset Ridge. That was
Sunset Bluffs.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Is that where Michelle Minuti lives?
No.
Because their cul-de-sac had like it was crazy. Did you see the pictures this morning on Facebook? Yeah, that's probably what you saw, actually.
Hey, real quick before
I... was literally the street behind my house. I know the people who did
it. Nuts, yeah.
So, speaking of fireworks, in my neighborhood, somebody clearly went to South Carolina and didn't just go off the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
They must have asked the clerk,
right.
What y'all got in the back? Because...
Yeah. Ask the most dirt-looking person you can find for the special stuff.
No, I am serious. Clearly, they asked what y'all got. What you got off the shelf, because that I would hurt. I mean, it was like a war.
Where,
like
this was like, in your neighborhood.
Like I get the mortar tubes
went for
right?
the Jason Pierre-Paul, huh?
Dude. It was
ba-dum-tsh.
Like the Durham Bulls would be jealous of what this guy had.
So we did that once in Preston Village when we were living there. We did that and until the cops show up, multiple patrol cars show up and want to know who lit the fireworks.
Yep,
you're not even having fun yet. We did that.
Hey, look, a couple years ago.
Freaky.
A couple years ago, I don't think anybody called the cops, but the cop did show up. He started driving around. He's like, I saw that from 2 miles away.
Right.
So that's how you know it wasn't the stuff you get at Target.
Yeah. I mean, several showed up at our house.
Hey, real quick, before we say hello to our guests, that mechanical shark, can kids ride it?
No. 21 and up.
Hmm.
Got too much insurance.
Do I have to hold on
to
a fin?
About.
How's that work?
I have no idea. I can't wait
to
watch.
You didn't test this thing?
No.
Are you going to get on it?
Yeah.
Of course he is. Right. He's going to get thrown off of
it. I lead from the front, Joe.
I might have to check this thing out. I might have to get on. We'll see what happens.
I'm going to watch.
All right, reminder, you can listen to the 919 Beer Podcast on the iTunes and Google Play stores. You can also listen to us on Buzz Sports Radio and, obviously, the WRAL Sports Fan app. Let's say hello to our first guest, our food guest. Actually, our first guest is here to break down the Philadelphia Eagles offseason. See how things are going post-Super
Bowl. I don't think
you
can really call him a guest. He's more like family now.
Kevin Hubbard of Patrick Jane's out in Cary. Yes, you are show fam at this point. You are podcast fam. Thanks for bringing all the goodies. But no, but seriously, how are they going to handle that quarterback situation after a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy one. It's pretty simple. Wentz is your starter.
Okay.
Foles got a raise to stick around, and they got trade bait once they know for certain Wentz is ready.
All right.
Tampa might be looking at him with the Winston Justice situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jameis Winston
situation. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So,
all right.
There's a lot of options.
I like your confidence. Back to back?
Of course. What else would I say?
Not a chance.
Now, if the Flyers can get their act together.
The Phillies are looking pretty good. They're pushing.
They're
a game and a half out, and they're going to have Machado by next week.
Yeah, whatever. Their uniforms look great. Yeah, so that's about it.
So you brought some goodies today. I want to get to the desserts first.
Yes.
Because as you were unpacking the cooler, my eyes did not gravitate to any of the actual entrees. They went right to the desserts. I'm like, is that like some sort of peanut? Like, I can tell a peanut butter dessert from a mile away.
Right.
So what was that cheesecake? What was on that thing?
Peanut butter Butterfingers cheesecake. My wife, loves to go overboard on her cheesecakes. So, if she can start combining things in there that just make it even more decadent, she's all about it.
And then you had a thin mint?
Thin mint. Thin mint cheesecake.
Thin mint got my vote.
And you didn't get to try the lemon cream pie.
I did, too.
Oh, you did? I liked the lemon cream pie.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But if we're talking strictly cheesecake, the thin mint was awesome.
And then as far as the food is concerned, actually, Adam, it's something that you guys should probably check out. it's this sandwich with turkey and brie. It's got, pear in it.
Yeah, thin sliced pear and cranberry aioli.
Was it called Turkey Delicious?
No.
See, the cranberry aioli just pushed it way over the top of the delicious turkey. So,
what's the delicious turkey?
It's the turkey delicious. It's the turkey delicious.
We all know what it is.
Yeah, so Mason Jar. So oftentimes from Mason Jar, where Adam
Patrick
is.
Patrick Jane's Lager Company.
He'll bring.
Coming next summer.
You should actually do
August 2019.
You should do a house beer called that. Honestly, for Patrick James. No, but anyway.
The sandwich was awesome.
It's a similar sandwich, but I do agree. The cranberry, I agree with Wayne. The cranberry took it to another level.
It did.
So,
well, because it goes well with brie.
Or turkey and brie.
We don't use brie.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should.
Or cranberry.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, because then in Fuquay, you can't use brie, can you?
What?
What's this?
Holly Springs should get away with it.
What's this here? Brah. What is this?
It's pronounced Brie.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows that. What was the bread? Because I know you're very particular about your bread.
We
appreciate.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonder loaf bread.
I'm a bread snob. That was a pretty standardification bread. That was just pretty straightforward there.
And we used sourdough.
Did you make the bread?
So.
No, I did not make the bread. Right. There's very few times I'll make my own bread other than pizza crusts or like dessert breads, just because it takes up so much space.
I think this might be the only time you've ever brought us food. You didn't bring us a pizza. I mean,
it's not the first time.
Well, we're not complaining.
The seasonal now is the peach and prosciutto, and I know you're more of a straightforward meat guy. You don't do the fruit on your pizzas.
It's a refreshing pizza.
I've gotten to know your guys' dietary needs and habits.
It's crushable. It's
sessionable pizza.
This one gets finicky. I don't care.
But my favorite. Can I tell my favorite?
Yeah.
The hoagie. Good gracious.
That hoagie was on point.
That thing was awesome.
Well, during the playoff run.
I think the oil's still dripping down my beard.
It's really, really good. During the playoff run when you were full on cheesesteak mode.
Right.
I know you've got that Italian hoagie on there too. And again, it gets back to the bread. And this is a common theme. If you've listened to this podcast enough times, oftentimes when you do with these representations of sandwiches, what is the difference between a good sandwich and a bad sandwich from a region is, can you get the bread? And you get the bread.
Exactly.
And that is all the difference in the world.
I use the same bread for the hoagie that I do for the cheesesteak, which is pretty standard up in Philly. Like, mm-hmm. if you're buying your bread from one company or you're doing the same stuff for cheesesteak and hoagie.
Mm-hmm.
But really, for that, it's quality of meat. It's so easy to just go out and buy cheap salami and call it a hoagie.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're buying $12 a pound,
Kevin, they're called hoagies
and hot sobrasadas and shaving them paper thin, it makes a difference in a good sandwich. Getting quality salamis.
Yes, no, I totally agree. And you put that they put that dressing on there, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Kevin, you always have awesome food. You always have a nice North Carolina beer selection. One thing we don't talk about a ton, though, but you do great cocktails too.
Yeah.
What's the latest there? Because I know you like to switch that stuff up seasonally as well.
So we have, I don't know, six different variations of mules. We have the copper cups for them and stuff like that, which, again, try to keep that local. So we use Quinger beer. And I think they brew that at Fortnite, too. That's another contract brew over
at
Fortnite.
They do that at Fortnite, yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, Quinn's doing a really good job. I'm starting to see that in a lot of the grocery stores and everything. We sell that by the six-pack as well, too. But that's the good, a good base for a mule is a decent ginger beer. But, yeah, we have six different variations on that. We have sangrias out and stuff right now. My wife's cutting fruit daily to keep that stuff fresh and whatnot. It just depends on what I'm in the mood for, what the cocktail of the day is going to be. Lately, I've been on a chartreuse kick. So I've been doing different versions of Sazeracs and chartreuse cocktails and whatnot. But they change daily. I mean, and whatever you want, you got an idea, run it by us. We'll make it. I mean, we use quality ingredients. If you look at our bar, we don't have any bottom shelf stuff on it.
You use crude bitters, right?
We use crude shrubs. Bitters. That's another one that makes a difference. You're right. So
and they're local here to Raleigh.
Yeah, they're
Raleigh
based
as well.
Out of Raleigh, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool little bar there. A lot of cool cocktail choices and a lot of inventive stuff. I remember like when you and I first started talking about bar stuff a few years ago, you were telling about you did a beefsteak Manhattan, right?
That's my favorite. Still to this day is my favorite cocktail. So in prime rib season, when I do the whole big prime rib thing on Sunday nights, I'll cut an end piece off and then I'll cut them into little cubes and put a slice in it so I can garnish the glass with it. But I save all the drippings. And then I'll make a Manhattan, and I put the beef drippings into the Manhattan, and I use smoke and salt bitters from Crude,
right?
Which is called Pooter. I think that's the name of that. That one is called Pooter. I use smoke and salt bitters, and then it gets beef drippings, and it gets garnished with a piece of prime rib, and it's fantastic.
How do those beef drippings? This is just a nerd question. How does beef drippings mix with the stuff?
I mean, so you got to shake it well. You got to shake it well, and you'll see your little.
Does it start like congealing at all,
no,
or
it
just like the oil though? Can
we
kind of separate?
Can we get a boomerang of the shaking?
It's how you're going to filter it out. You know what I mean? You're going to kind of let your fats go off the top before you save those drippings.
Sure.
You want the beef flavored juice and
flavor.
Blood, not the fatty stuff. But you will see it when you shake it real good. You'll see the little globules of the beef fat in there, but they don't congeal on you or anything.
I think that's probably like November, December. We need to head out there and have a couple of those.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that needs to happen. What else is going on for the summer? Do you have anything coming up that people need to know about?
Yeah, well, we're going to do our
It's not football season. We get it. You guys won a Super Bowl.
It's
we're not
coming.
There yet,
Kevin. It's coming. It's almost there.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're going to have a Super Bowl banner release party on the Thursday night game that kicks off the season.
Super Bowl banner release party.
We're going to unveil. We're going to have it covered with a sheet and then, you know, pull it off. For the Thursday night game that kicks off the season against the, I think it's the Falcons we're playing on opening day. But we got our five-year anniversary party coming up in August.
Nice.
Yeah. We moved it a couple of weeks because we found, I mean, we got a good crowd, but you're competing with so many events in early September.
Sure. We know of one.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. I'm starting to get, every year I've got like two or three more people that fly into town to stay with me to do
You got a house full for Beericana?
They call it Hotel Hubbard, but Beericana, because like, I literally have like multiple people staying in multiple bedrooms. So it's...
What are we looking in August? When's the party going to be?
I believe it's going to be the 24th, 25th weekend, and it'll be on the Saturday, whatever date that is. I should
know
that if I'm on here to
Saturday.
Talk about it. Yeah, it's the 25th then.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at doing.
Great.
Before
so,
Labor Day.
Sure, and people can obviously keep up with that stuff on Facebook and...
Right.
Instagram and
of
all
course,
that stuff
yeah.
coming up.
And we'll have to miss that.
Yeah, we won't be in town for that,
we'll
unfortunately.
Be in Wilmington.
We will. What do you think of that, Joe? ILM weekend.
I'm still...
Hashtag ILM guy time.
I'm still trying to figure out how to avoid you.
Guy time?
How to avoid me?
You already said you're taking your wives and children.
Yeah,
how's it guy time?
Like, I'm not taking my children.
Yeah.
When did I say that?
I'm just trying to like figure out, I'm like, okay, how can we just like do the podcast? And
I'm like the fog, Joe. I'm everywhere.
And then my phone will stop working. Like it goes directly to voicemail or something like that, or the text isn't delivered and I go disappear so I don't have to hang out with Eshbaugh for the rest of the day. Wayne, what do you want to do?
I'm not sure. I mean, I wasn't planning on taking my wife, but since you guys are in, I mean, you know, what am I going to do now? I mean, I thought it was going to be guys weekend, but no. Somebody's got to take their wives. Like, you never go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Anyway.
All right. I guess we'll see.
One more thing Wayne's going to be bitter about.
I guess Wayne's going to be at the Fat Pelican just, you know, people watching in Carolina Beach. Yeah, just
get off my grass.
Just doing his thing. It'll just be lonely Wayne at Brit's Donuts
the
following day.
I won't be lonely, man. I know Wilmington well. I promise you I won't be lonely.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Besides, okay, so we got everything covered with the upcoming events. You get the Super Bowl banner unveiling and everything else, which is amazing to me.
Really? I mean,
that's just
grasping for things to do. I mean, it's like Espot in there doing a dunk tank and a whale or whatever.
Oh, it's a mechanical shark.
I
mean, you're clowning this. People are going to show up for this.
Oh, and of course they will.
People are going to show up for this because, like,
well, they're from Philly. They got nothing else to do.
And you can back me up on this, Kevin. I was there a couple of times during the playoffs. Right. I mean, I showed up for, I think it was the championship game, and then I went there with my in-laws to give them the pre-Super Bowl Philly experience, and it was packed with Philly people.
It was a zoo, and like all the trivia was just Philly trivia. Yes. And if you weren't from Philly, you were struggling with that stuff.
We won a round.
You did win a round.
We won a round.
But you had some Philly natives with you.
We had ringers.
Right. I had people in there that were big Eagles fans, but didn't live there. Their dad was from there or something.
Okay. That
and they
sense.
Would struggle horribly during the trivia sections. But yeah, we get a big – that's the unveiling is going to be for the game. It's going to be the first game of the year. I just wanted to give them something to – keep the ball rolling from last year so they don't forget how much fun they had.
Very, very cool. All right, well, thanks for bringing in all the food. Have fun the rest of the summer, and best of luck on your banner unveiling.
Thanks, Joe.
And the anniversary party.
And the anniversary party. But really, I think he's more excited about that banner unveiling. You're going to have a smoke show, right?
Laser lights, the whole thing.
Yeah, fog machines and all that. Okay, yeah, I could see you.
Rumor has it Terrell Owens is flying into town for it.
Oh, wow.
I think that's where he's having his Hall of Fame induction ceremony, right?
We're talking about it. So you going to do sit-ups in the parking lot for us?
That's where it's all going down.
Do some crunches.
All right, Patrick James out in Cary. Thanks again. Let's say hello to our beer guest today from Old Hickory. He's the brewery ambassador, and he literally just got there. Ryan Trask. Hey, Ryan.
How's it going?
Last time we talked to you, you were somewhere else.
I was indeed.
Now you're here.
I am here.
Brand spanking new.
Day number four.
I still see the crease lines in your shirt. Like you haven't quite put it in the wash a couple of times.
It has not seen the washer yet, no. I found it in the van. So I have two work shirts until tomorrow when my cards and the rest of my apparel comes down from the brewery to the warehouse.
Okay, so we have chatted with Old Hickory in the past, and we're fans of the beer, but I'm kind of curious from your perspective, having just taken this job, because usually when we talk to people, it's like they've been doing this for a while, they know the deal. So for you, how's this week going?
So it's been kind of a slow week because it's a holiday
it's the
week,
fourth,
of course,
right?
And nobody really wants to talk to anybody.
Hey, look, with 4th of July being on a Wednesday, I think if you wanted to win the presidency, you would just go on the platform of 4th of July week is just a week off, straight up.
Anyway. Basically. Yeah. So it's just been a week of, now I've been selling beer here for, I don't know, 7 years or so. God, has it been that long already? I know where to go, who to see when and that kind of thing. But I just trying to put together okay, on this day, I'm going to go to this area. Mm-hmm. On this day, I'm going to go to that area. So you had asked me earlier about where I'll be covering. So I'll definitely cover the triangle for sure, all the way to the coast where my distributor covers. Hopefully breaking it down town by town. But on a certain day, there might be a buyer in Durham on Monday that I need to see. But on that same day, there's a buyer in Holly Springs that I might have to see on that day. So it's not a perfect scenario.
A lot of driving.
But that's why I have a company vehicle.
A lot of podcasts that you can listen to? A
lot of podcasts out there. There definitely are.
There's one actually I think you can check out, this one. I don't know if you want to listen to that one or not.
Yeah, you can, and you should rate us too, Ryan.
Yeah, totally, that'd be good.
Where can I rate you at? It helps people find us.
iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Google Play.
I just went through your website this morning just to see.
There you go.
Know, how,
he's like, this is
how
the first time you guys were doing this. All right, so I know you're brand new, and you've been in the industry for a while, but
I've sold the beer before,
and you sold their beer before, right? Because you were
I worked for their distributor,
right? So, but what attracted you to this brewery? Like, what made you say yes? This is where I want to be.
So, when I sold this beer before through the distributor, this was always a job that I was like, man, that would be a great job to have. It's a heritage brewery. They've been around since 1994. They're a North Carolina brewery. And this market has just totally wrapped their arms around North Carolina breweries. We're getting some awesome breweries from outside of the state. And honestly, they have a hard time competing with the in-state stuff. And I think the flip side of that, though, they've been around since 1994, and it's kind of an old dog in a new dog's game. And it's just, trying to get beer in people's mouths and bringing Old Hickory back to the forefront. Like, we make solid beers. We have six core beers, at least two seasonals. We have an awesome barrel program, getting a sour program going. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot. While it's a brand that's been around for a long time, they're doing some really cool stuff that a lot of the newer breweries are trying to jump in and do with barrel programs and stuff like that. Old Hickory has one of the largest barrel programs in the state.
I always find that fascinating with the older breweries. I know, like, last week, there's two different types of older breweries. So, like, Weeping Radish was the guest last week. And Weeping Radish
We're just having the old guys on right now.
Well, no. But the point here is that Weeping Radish was a brewery that, as of the recording of this podcast, it actually is their anniversary when they opened up to be the first brewery. And Weeping Radish was part of the process to actually allow brew pubs to exist in the state. But Weeping Radish, for the large part of North Carolinians, didn't even know it existed. It was just a place that you pass on the way out to the beach when it used to be in Manio. And you had 64 forced you to go through Manio, right? So it wasn't really widely available. And they're only just now, having been open since what, 80? When did they open up?
Oh, man, I should have listened last week.
Yeah, you should have listened.
Is it 86?
Was it 86? Anyway, it's been a really, really long time. You can just now, like over the last couple of years, really start seeing them. And even still, it's a small thing. But then there are places like Old Hickory who've been doing this for a long time, and the availability is a lot greater than Weeping Radish. But it's kind of like a reminder of, hey, guys, this is the beer you liked. It's still good. Maybe revisit it. And then actually, Adam and I and Wayne talked about this in the past. Sometimes you go revisit beers that you loved a couple years ago, and then you're reminded, oh, yeah, I forgot why I liked this beer so much.
That's also why having an actual salesperson is so important, though.
Mm-hmm.
But we've said it several times specifically about Old Hickory. If Old Hickory would just be coming out now, people would be going crazy. Oh, yeah.
Because those barrels.
Yeah, I mean, the whole lineup. I mean, I mentioned Death by Hops when Joe was finishing that comment. That was a beer that was one of my favorite IPAs early on, and then it got lost in all of the new releases and all the new breweries and all the everything that was coming out, all the new styles of IPAs. But, man, it's still a solid beer,
mm-hmm.
and it's a phenomenal IPA. Again, as Adam said, if you guys were brand new, you'd be crushed. Everybody would have to have it. But there's so much new stuff that everybody thinks is better, but it's not necessarily.
Right. Newer doesn't necessarily mean better.
Right. And just different.
When I told, when I started telling my customers over the last month, essentially, that I was leaving and going to Old Hickory, how many times I heard, well, first of all, the first question I get is, Old Hickory, where's that? It's in Hickory.
I didn't ask you that when you met with me.
I don't think you did, no. But then the second question is, wow, I haven't had an Old Hickory beer in a long time. And it's like, well, I'll see you in a few weeks, and I will fix that for you. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess you're locally, you're the third iteration of a rep. Our buddy Leif was the Old Hickory. He grew up there.
He was
and he was your rep when you were with Mims. Yeah, and he was great. And then Sarah came for a little bit, and now you. And one thing's for sure: when you have representation and you're able to get out there in front of people, your beer sells. The issue becomes trying to be that one person who's out there in front of everybody.
Right.
So what's your plan to combat that?
Well, going back to, the distributor that I'm most familiar with, Mims, I know that team really well. So I know basically who my sales rep is, who my craft brand manager is, who the VP of on-premise sales, who the VP of off-premise sales, right. If I have a delivery issue, draft tech, anything. I have that whole team behind me, plus a graphics department for signage, so if I can't be there, if I can ask a rep, hey, this account needs a case of glassware for an event I have set up, I'm not going to be down there, can you do that? So I'm going to use them as an extension of myself, and I have that relationship that I can trust them, and I know that they're, at the end of the day, they make commission too. So, I'm just trying to make them more money as well.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. So
that's my role.
I agree with you 100%, but I also tell people all the time, the distributor's job's not to sell your beer, right? That's a salesperson's job.
They take orders and they deliver.
Exactly. So what do you do? What are you going to do? Because you've worked both sides. You've worked for a distributor. Mm-hmm. You've worked for a brewery who you've done you've worn most hats, right? Mm-hmm. And but you've seen all the sides. What are you going to do that gets your distributors to really want to sell your product?
That's a great question. You know, there are different ways to incentivize people, be it financially or, mm-hmm. you know, hey, if you, whoever sells the most beer, I get you a case of beer. Yeah, if that's legal, I'd have to look into that. But yeah, there's different things you can do. But again, this is day four. I'm not exactly sure what I can do at this point.
Look, this is not a set in stone answer. I just want to know because I'm sure you've been brainstorming things.
Right.
Oh, all
right,
trust
me.
How do I get these people on my side? Because I've always thought when you deal with a distributor, getting that distributor on your side and they're your team.
Right.
It does increase. And we've got reps in here, friends of ours, who really do that well.
Mm-hmm.
Really do that well. And they don't even do anything other than just have a great relationship with those reps.
And being that I've had many a supplier rep in my passenger seat driving them around, like, I know who I liked and what they did to make me like them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So I kind of have an idea of, this is what works. If I'm willing to help you be successful, my hope is that you will in turn help me be successful.
Sure.
So if I ask you for an account list or a target list or, hey, who's really crushing the local North Carolina beer, like a random account that I've never even thought of going into, like that's what those distributor reps are so good at, because they have to go into every account.
You see those reports every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the reason I ask is because MIMS is no different than every other distributor right now, with their growing portfolios.
Absolutely.
And not only growing portfolios just to grow, but growing portfolios to really build the strongest portfolio possible.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, it was a different scene than it is right now. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting to see as the landscape continues to change, both locally, but also with distributors, breweries, what's happening. I mean, there are quality breweries getting cut out of distributors' portfolios right now that, to me, it's jaw-dropping.
Absolutely.
And it's a little bit of kind of what's the latest thing.
Oh, yeah.
But also, those salespeople have a lot to do with it. Not only the salespeople with your distributors, but the individual salespeople for the brewery.
Right. And, you know, I've, again, been on the other side where you have a whole portfolio of things to sell. And if I walk into to see the buyer at some random account, I don't know, Mason Jar or something like that.
That is random.
If you walk into there to try to sell beer, you're not going to get through to anybody.
Well, but if it's, hey, I need an IPA,
right?
Every single brand in your book has one or two or three or whoever.
Yeah.
You can only pitch a handful. All I want to do is make mine one of the handful that gets thrown in there. So, I mean, it starts with a quality product, of course, and then, you know, how can I support that either at the account level or with the rep or with the buyer.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your beer that you're now driving around and getting people to take orders or not get let in the door if you go to Adam's Joint.
No, he's let in the door. I'm just never at the restaurants.
That's
why I don't go find him.
The
at
good
the restaurant.
Reps know this.
Good point. That's a very
the bad ones.
I find the unlocked
in
door.
Handing the bartenders.
All right,
cards.
So let's start. What did you bring today?
Well, so far we did Ruby Lager.
Yes.
So that. A nice, easy 4%. A buddy of mine yesterday just called it, it's like a craftier Yingling. I'm like, I can get behind that. And I always kind of thought of it as like a Märzen, but mm-hmm. not, it's not called a Märzen or an Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
When you can sell all year round.
I just like it because it's so light.
Yeah.
It's 4%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I bet Adam will trade you, if you'll get him the recipe, he'll probably trade you some tips on
I'll give you
good
a
accounts.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
Hats, all that kind of fun stuff.
No hook
yet. No, I'm glad you brought it up that way, a craftier Yingling. I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine who we had referenced earlier in the podcast. We were in the Outer Banks, and they're from California, and he's a home brewer. And we had like a spirited discussion about how to get more people into drinking craft beer. And I've always made the argument that if you really want to like widen the gap, and we're seeing breweries finally get around to this, but if you want to widen the audience, give them something that they're used to, just better, right? And when you say a craftier Yingling, that's probably the best way to put it. It's something you're used to, something that you like, something you probably go to a restaurant and you've crushed multiple times. You know, like when the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and you're at Patrick Jane's and they're just crushing Yinglings, because why not, right? Which I may or may not have done. You get... Not, and nothing against Yingling. It's a fine beer.
But this one's got a little more to
America's
it.
Oldest.
Right. Yeah, it's America's oldest. There's a little something more to it. And when you get that, you go, okay, I want to now try the other ones of other styles of beer that mm-hmm. I like. And then you graduate up to something like an IPA right. or whatever it is. Or you get crazy and you do something like a Gosa or something like that. So I'm glad you put it that way, because that really is a good descriptor of what the Ruby Lager is.
And essentially, Ruby is just another word for red mm-hmm. or amber. There's another brewery in North Carolina that makes an amber lager that they sell by the van full.
They do.
So, you know, I think it's a good, like, there's already a market for the amber lager drinker, mm-hmm. as somebody else might try to hitching their
don't
wagon
know.
To that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But never, I think it's a good... It's a good place to start.
Now, I just poured, what was this, Thallo?
Yes.
Thallo?
Thallo.
Othello? India Pale Ale. This is a seasonal. Thallo, what are we doing with this?
Thallo is the goddess of spring. But this actually has Amarillo, Seven Seas, and Simcoe.
Okay. But you're going for particular like vibe.
Yes.
Okay.
So then I also have Oxo, which that is the, I believe, the goddess of summer.
Yeah.
So this is the spring seasonal. So we're at the tail end of this. Oxo just landed, and hopefully there's some draft coming down tomorrow. Again, I'm not privy to what's on the POs. I'm just assuming that it should be coming right behind it, because Thallo's almost done. But we're going to go through a few IPAs here. And this one, I haven't had the Oxo, so I figured I'd start with this one, since this is the spring seasonal before we go to the summer. But this one's, again, nice and light.
Well,
for the
spring seasonal, dude, it's July 5th. Where's the pumpkin beer?
Yeah, we're well into fall right now.
Yeah, I mean,
actually,
come on. I welcome fall. Where's pumpkin time?
Oktoberfests are going to be delayed a little bit this year, from what I hear.
What?
I think ours is coming out in August, but the, you know, your bigger guys, I hear you got about 10 days or so, I think, before they're going to start dropping.
I mean, because if I can't have a pumpkin beer at the pool, then I don't want that life, you know?
But who puts a pumpkin beer in a can if you're drinking it at the pool?
That's a good point.
There are a few.
I can sneak it into a like a Yeti or something like
there
that.
There you go.
Bring it to the pool. We're good to go. That's the way to go. All right, so this is the Oxo is...
We're still on Thallo. Like,
okay, we're on Thallo, which, yes, I could see... It's light. I like this. Even though it's 7%, you wouldn't really know that.
Yeah, and, you know, some of my favorite hops, I love Simcoe, so that's, I'm super, you know, just catching it at the end. I didn't even get a whole case to sample because there wasn't enough to sell to necessitate getting a case to sample out to people, but.
All right, so we're opening.
This is the Oxo.
Now we're gonna, is an IPL, correct?
This is an IPL. Adam, have you ever had one of these before?
I have. I've heard of them.
Okay. Just making sure. It's kind of a newer style.
Yeah, I have not tried this. Of course, when anybody has an IPL, which is an India Pale Lager, I always get excited because, you know, I like those lagers.
Thankfully for the social media posts, I saw one of my accounts received this on a shipment earlier this week. So last night at about 9:30, I was like, oh, I need to go get a six-pack of that for the show tomorrow.
Wayne, you're going to want to try that in about 6 months. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't
try it. Slow down a little bit and get it right.
Yeah, let that cook. Let that cook.
Yeah,
I
had an aged beer experiment explode on me yesterday. So. Anyway. For another time.
What hops you have in this, do you know?
Yes, if you So again, day 4. So I don't have them off the top of my head. This is Amarillo, Calypso, Comet, and Simcoe.
Okay. Wow, I'm sure the hop bills are different, but ingredients, I mean, 3 of the 4 are the same as the last beer.
Mm-hmm.
Changing that up a little bit.
Can you get Adam those hop bills, please?
I'll see what
That's what he was asking for.
What now?
You know.
Hey,
what's your yeast? I'm just kidding.
No idea.
He's more subtle about it than I am. I'm just going to go ahead and ask for
I enjoy that. I love IPLs, though. Obviously, I'm a homer. I'm always going to pull for a well-made lager. But IPLs, I enjoy the benefits of both a lager and an IPA.
Right.
And I think they're really catching on with people.
Oh, yeah.
That they're finally, people are like, oh, that's not only just a cool concept, like it's just an enjoyable style of beer.
And a lot of people are making them. It's another way to make an IPA, but, mm-hmm. you know, making it with a lager yeast. And a lot of people are doing lagers now, too. So they have that lager yeast kicking around. It's another beer to help feed your yeast in between batches of whatever your lager
is. Plus, somebody wants to be a follower of Adam. He's a trendsetter. So.
Oh, jeez. I'm blushing.
As he's wearing his most...
World's Okayest Dad.
World's Okayest Dad t-shirt, yeah.
I had middle school orientation today. I had to look the part.
That's great, yeah. The teacher appreciated that.
So,
yeah,
Ryan,
this is what I've got to do.
What are you most looking forward to this next year with Old Hickory? I'm not going to ask you to like forecast or anything, but what makes you most excited?
We
already talked insider industry stuff that about three people care about.
Right.
Like just for anybody who wants to maybe even be in the beer industry, like what gets you excited?
So this is kind of like the broad, you know, answer, but I love when I'm at a bottle shop per se and doing a sampling and or at a whatever, and people walk up and they're like, oh, I don't like IPA. That's usually the one that you get. I don't like IPA. It's like, well, try this one because either you already paid because you're at a festival or this is you're here to learn. If you want to sample beer, you're here to learn. If you don't like it, you already told me that you don't like it, so I'm not going to be offended.
Not going to be offended that you don't like mine either.
Right. So, but at least try it. And when they try that beer, and it happens probably 75% of the time, people try and like, oh, that's not so bad because people started on big, really aggressively hopped, bitter IPAs, you know, super West Coast, and beers have changed now, and they're not all like that anymore.
No.
And IPA is such a variety, a broad term.
It's like IPA has become like its own beer.
Yeah.
You can't just walk up to a bar and say, give me a beer. You can't walk up to a bar and say, give me an IPA.
Right. You look at the 2015 like BJCP guidelines for IPA. It's like, I don't even know how many subcategories there are there, but
it's crazy now.
Out of control.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, getting back to the business real quick. Do you get do you have to pass a test?
No.
Are they gonna quiz you? You got like flashcards?
No.
So when people ask you about these particular beers, because I know you gotta study. Because like you're familiar with the beer, and you know, when you were at MIMS, you knew what they had and things like that.
Right.
And you could be a fan of a beer. But that doesn't necessarily mean you know everything about the beer.
Right.
You just know you like it.
This is one of those where, you know, the more you drink it, honestly, it sounds like a really hard job, I know. But yeah.
Oh, no, there's work involved.
The
with
more
this.
You drink a beer and you can pick up on those nuances and you can, like, it kind of sounds like you're messing with people, but if you tell them what they should taste to a certain degree, they're like, oh my God, that's there.
So prone to suggestion.
That's amazing.
The power of suggestion. Yeah. Some people don't have the palate. I know Wayne, you guys have talked about a friend of yours who is able to pick out just about everything out of the beer. I do not have, I was not genetically blessed with that ability. My palate just does not have that. We've been doing this podcast now, what, like 4 years?
Ooh, Lord,
Happy anniversary!
And it's essentially...
Ooh, next week.
Essentially, my beer expertise comes down to, I like this beer, or, it's okay.
And it's me. Yeah,
and that's pretty much what it is.
And that's the majority of people.
That's the majority of people. And that's why I was curious, from your perspective, you know, you could be a particular fan of a beer, and they might do a particular style better than some, or they might try a style that you've tried other places, and they don't do a good job of it, but you know it. And you just kind of move on to the next thing. So when you have to actually break it down and study it, how much of that, you know, like where are you right now with being able to pick these things out?
You know, I'm getting there. Like I said, it's been 4 days. Not that I haven't drank these beers before.
Of course, but you're drinking them differently.
While.
And on top of that, you're drinking them differently. You're just drinking them,
In all honesty, Hef is not my favorite style of beer.
Fair enough.
But I really think that's the beer that can kind of lead the charge for Old Hickory because as a North Carolina brewery, as a year-round beer, there aren't a lot of other options out here. So that is the one that I kind of think kind of it has a place. If you go into a bar and whether they have 16 taps, 40 taps, whatever, they should have at least one wheat. And whether it's a Hef, a wheat, a wit, or something like that, I think this can stand up to any other beer on the market.
In my experience, that beer always sells very well.
Yeah, exactly. It's a volume mover too.
And on the account side of things, it's priced perfectly too.
Yes.
It's a great beer to have on, especially, I mean, you're always going to have those wheat beer drinkers.
Absolutely.
Like you said, you need to at least have one wheat tap, whether it's a wit, whether it's American wheat or a Hef.
That beer.
But do you think that the average drinker really knows that it's a wheat beer? They just know that what they like. Back to what Joe said.
They know they've been told they like wheat beers.
Yeah. But I've had.
They know they've been told they like wheat beers because they like a Blue Moon.
Yeah.
They come to my brewery. But I usually drink Blue Moon. I get my happy place. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a wheat beer. But I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
They've been told they like one thing, and that's what they stick with because they don't they don't care to like learn anything else. Right.
Then you graduate to I like wheat beers, but I don't like this wheat beer. So look, for instance, just coming back from the Outer Banks, Outer Banks Brewing Station, love the spot. It's a cool spot. They actually have some nice beers. The one beer that I just don't like because I think it's got too much lemongrass is their wheat beer. Mm-hmm. So it's just. I feel like I'm just getting lemongrass shoved in my face. Some people like that, okay, and that's cool for them. Sometimes there are wits that are way too coriander for me, and it all kind of comes down to...
Coriandery?
Yeah, is that even a word?
I think, yeah.
It is now.
Yep.
I just made it a word, right?
Well, you're on radio, so it's got to be a word.
That's true. It's too much banana clove
or
whatever.
Put it on the internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah, that's got to be. I'll make a Wikipedia entry for it. So that's the next step that I was getting at, is that you find the particular style that you like, and then you can determine what variances you enjoy and what you don't like. What you're talking about is this complete noob level. And sometimes even I feel like I'm
okay, hold on.
Noob level.
We're talking, I mean, that's, you always got to say lowest common denominator, mm-hmm. not to like, make people feel bad, but most beer drinkers, most wheat beer drinkers especially, aren't like going to go out and look for nuances in a wheat beer. They're going to say, what wheat beers do you have? Mm-hmm. What's the closest one to X beer that I usually drink? I'll have that one.
Is it whole wheat beer?
I like to make the assumption that when you have a Hef on a board or a wit or whatever that wheat beer is, nobody cares about what the word is in front of that being the brewery's name. They don't care where it came from. They just know that that's what they like. And honestly, you know, as a rep,
it's the opposite of what IPAs have become.
Right.
Honestly, for the consumer, for 99% of those consumers.
Yep.
You can just say, I'll take a wheat beer.
Right.
And then they look at you cross-eyed when you're like, well, I got four of them on tap.
Yeah.
Which one would you like?
So what kind of company car you got?
Oh, I have a, what is it called? It's a Chevy Express, City Express. It's got the tiniest wheels on it ever. But
yes,
that
I've
sucker
seen
gets 30 miles to the gallon.
Yes.
It doesn't have any windows in the back, so it stays really cool in there too, I found. It's also insulated. They must have used it to deliver kegs probably back in Hickory when they were still doing self-distribution. So thing is awesome.
Are you Googling?
Googling it.
Oh yeah,
I've seen this one.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I've
it's
seen
like
these.
It's like the Chevy version of a Ford Transit.
Looks like the old Aerostars from back in the day.
Yes, it's like a mini Aerostar. Yep. That's a good way to put it.
I like that.
Sure.
That's cool. So it's got a good sound system in it?
I haven't really tested that yet.
Got a couple subs back there.
No, I'm just thinking. If you can put a little room for
put a strobe light.
You could put a bass tube back in there.
I had a bass tube back in the day.
The bazooka?
You know it. Bazooka back in 98.
I bet you did. Who didn't have a bazooka back in the day?
My Ford Ranger extended cab.
Put that sweet removable face.
Casey
Kenwood.
And JoJo.
Oh, yeah.
All the way up.
I had a full-size Bronco with one of those.
Oh,
suckers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
the leaf springs
fell
off of it.
Don't you love being around people
that are
the same exact stupid stuff?
I also paid $1 a gallon for gas back
then. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
I got like 8 miles of the gallon.
Those were the good old days. I'm just saying, you can make an impression on some clients if you roll up in this Transit or the City Express here with some subs, a couple quads, and, bass thumping.
I need to ask if I can expense that.
There you go.
You should be able to.
It's like, oh, yeah, here comes Ryan with that Run the Jewels blasting. All right, here we go. There, it's party
seems
time.
Appropriate.
We know what's going on.
Despacito.
There's that, too.
Actually, that was a song of the summer from a couple of summers ago. The new song of the summer, if you want to go for the Latin flair, would be Cardi B's I Like It. Mm. That's the one you got to go with. That'll grab some attention.
It was number one on the G105 thing.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I was just flipping through yesterday and like, oh.
What station? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, I know, right? It's one of your, it wasn't 99.9 The Fan for sure.
G what?
So, the other sports radio station.
Oh, yes.
They do sports radio there?
No.
Occasionally they dabble in sports.
I don't think it was 101.5, although that's usually where it is.
Okay. Sometimes I get confused when you guys play a long bump coming back. I'm like, what happened to the radio station?
It's usually in the 90s rejoin.
Usually what ends up happening there is that Adam forgets that that actually is a bump. Sometimes he can't tell the difference. But anyway, that's going to... Anything that we'd have to look forward to beyond these releases?
Ryan
that,
learning more about his company.
And, yeah.
Well, that too.
I feel like we got to bring you back in a couple of weeks and like quiz you.
There we go. I think I'll do much better. But no, we have, so again, OXO's coming out now. We'll have Oktoberfest in August, I do believe. Just saw an email about that. Oh, we are going to have a summer sonker beer. So a sonker.
Go on.
Is, think of it as a cross between a pie and a cobbler.
All right.
Okay. There are, my new boss sent us a whole like story about the sonker. So there are some different iterations of it, but it can be made with a variety of different fruits or vegetables. Rhubarb was an option. I read the story, so I've got all this down. But we are going to have a summer sonker beer. I'm not sure what the base beer is going to be, but it's going to have peaches, ginger, and vanilla in it. Mm. So sounds really refreshing for the summer. Should be out soon. Again, haven't gotten the when it's going to drop, but I think it's going to be available in Hickory next week, if I remember correctly. So I'm not sure when we'll get it. I'm guessing it's not coming tomorrow, but maybe on the next truck down to Raleigh.
So I know you don't know all these answers, but obviously we didn't even talk about Event Horizon or Lindley Park or any of those heavy hitters.
Funny you should mention.
Well, you did bring a 20. He brought a 2015 event.
I did bring a 2015
as
event.
As he breaks it out.
But just 30 seconds on those two beers.
So, yeah.
And others like Daniel Boone's back, which I'm excited about. Seven Devils came back this year.
So they just
what a
did,
time to be
they
alive.
Just released App Walker up at the brewery, talked to some buddies that went up for the release, got some bottles, heard it's drinking really nice this year. So
that is your barley wine.
It's but like it's Irish Walker, but aged in
brandy barrels?
I think it's, if I get this wrong, I'm sorry. I want to say it's cognac because I read the release back when I was going
Irish Walker
the
is
process.
One of, if not the best barley wine in the state. It's
we got some kegs at the
favorite.
Warehouse if you're interested, Adam.
You got it on Nitro?
I don't think
they
so.
They did it on Nitro a few years ago, and
they
it
did.
Was awesome.
They did. They are not
pricey,
cheap, but they're not as expensive
kegs,
as an Event Horizon keg.
That's a delicious beer. That is a really delicious beer.
Nice. But so Imperial Stout should drop in September, followed by Lindley Park in October, Event Horizon in November. And then, you know, the rest of our season along
just
with
just bring
it.
Them all to BeerCon, please. Thanks.
There we go. I'll see what I can do. I already promised you something cool. And then also was just kind of doing some research on the brewery today and getting the sour program going. So they have basically, from what I understand, turned the original facility into like a barrel/sour facility. So we should hopefully be seeing some more sour stuff come out. I've honestly, sadly, never had any of our sour stuff. I know we have a couple still kind of kicking around on some bottle shop shelves, but haven't pulled the trigger yet. Gonna hopefully go up there and they'll have all this stuff for me to taste, so I don't have to.
Well, and just if nobody's ever been there, go there. And I can't recommend Old Hickory Station.
It's all great
enough.
Yeah.
Both
great.
Restaurants are great, but Old Hickory Station is awesome.
I haven't been there in a long time. Sadly,
they always have like ridiculous beers.
They do.
They'll probably have a 2015 Event Horizon just on draft at any given time. It's awesome.
Well, Ryan, thanks for coming in. All great stuff, and best of luck on
Thank
the new
you.
Gig, man.
Thank
that's
you very
that's
much
very
as
very
we
cool.
Open this Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah. Man, we're really doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to end the show with a bang.
So stay tuned for
man, today's show's
the
gonna
3
be
o'clock
show.
Gonna be
show
awesome.
Today's show's going to be real loose. Hey, you know what? It's 4th of July week. What are
it's
you going to do, right?
It's only 8.5, I believe.
Oh, only. No big deal.
It's sessionable. It's summer.
It's totally sessionable for an Imperial.
No big deal. No big deal. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast. We will see you all next week. No vacation for anybody, right?
Everybody's
no. Still here?
Okay. It's our anniversary show next week.
You guys actually have me for like one more week before I go back out again. So I'll be in Charlotte for ACC kickoff in 2 weeks.
Oh, we're going to do something from Charlotte still?
I mean, I threw that out to you guys a month ago. Never heard back. So y'all let me know.
What date is that? We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Cheers.
We'll definitely talk about it. See y'all next week.
Cheers.